Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Welcome to Japan Top 10's culture episode. Discover the Japanese adult entertainment industry. Japan Top 10. My name is Edward.
And I'm Haru.
Let's get into this episode. For those of you that don't know me, I am new to this podcast. I came on in December 2020. I almost forgot it was 2021. I'm from Toronto, Canada, and I'm so happy to be here.
Yay.
And you all know Haru. Yay! Haru-san, I'm so glad to work with you.
Me too.
Yoroshiku onegaishimasu.
Yoroshiku onegaishimasu.
We continue our third Listener Appreciation Month episode for the month of February 2021. Get Patreon premium episodes for all releases in the month of February. If you have a song request, see our website at jtop10.jp. If you are enjoying the benefits of this month's episodes, please see our site at jtop10.jp/club for details on how you can join us in our Patreon program. Also, check us out on our Amazon Music website now. Search us up on their app or their site.
この度、Amazon Music でもジャパントップ10が聴けるようになりました。詳しくは Amazon Music アプリまたはウェブサイトをチェックしてみてください。
Little content warning before we begin.The following episode contains discussion of consensual sexual activity, non-consensual sexual activity, grooming, and exploitation. Our discussion today is mainly about the adult entertainment industry of Japan, which is a segment of the general sex industry that is quite different from prostitution. In this episode, you will come across some terms that are not exactly part of the AV industry, but are closely associated with it. To help our listeners understand, and we're going to have a bit of a dialogue about this, we'll kick this episode off with a short glossary of terms closely related to the Japanese AV industry. Take it away, Haru-san.
Okay. So the first one is gravure or gravia in Japanese. Gravure idols are basically a type of female commercial print glamour models featured in magazines, photo books, and DVDs. Most gravure idols are young girls aged from their preteens to late 30s.Gravure idols cover a wider range of photography styles and themes that showcase them usually posing in sexually provocative or suggestive positions with an air of playful innocence. There is usually no nudity involved.
This is interesting because we don't entirely have a Western equivalent of this. I guess the closest thing for us would be like a spread maybe in...Maxim or FHM, although Maxim is now online and is a bit different. Actually, it's funny, quite a few of the magazines that would normally do that kind of stuff, they've all moved to digital or they've completely transformed. I mean, if you look at Playboy, they've actually went through a different shift now. It's totally different. So is it still a thing over there in Japan, Haru?
So basically, gravure idols are...popular in Japan, and they usually appear on TV as well. And but everyone could be a gravure idols, like singers or actress or even a voice actress. So if they have like a super attractive body, then if they can wear like bikini or, you know, maybe underwear, then just, yeah, can be a gravure idol.
Wow. So one would argue, though, don't you? Well, this is kind of horrible and shallow, but this is also the industry that we're in. It's you kind of have to be pretty anyway, basically, to get into the into any kind of entertainment industry, I think, in Japan. It's the same in the West as well. I mean, unless you're going to be a character actor, it feels like that's almost already the requirement in a way. But I suppose the difference between gravure idol and...maybe a normal J-pop singer would be, I guess, the willingness to maybe pose in sexually provocative or suggestive ways, perhaps. Maybe. But, I mean, also, if that's what they want to do to get famous and stuff, I'm absolutely not judging them for that. People have to do things, and if that's what they're comfortable with doing, more power to them. Next, we're going to talk about host and hostesses. Basically, high-end escorts that work at host and hostess clubs, cabaret lounges, or lounge bars. They are a popular part of Japan's nightlife scene. Usually host or hostess offer companionship, and there's plenty of drinking in their line of work. There are plenty of small documentaries on YouTube covered by channels such as Asian Boss and Vice about this. When I was in Japan a long time ago, I remember walking around a couple of cities all over Japan, and in the nightlife areas and entertainment districts, they would have hosts and hostesses just hanging out outside, smoking like a million packs of cigarettes and stuff, waiting for people to come in. And it struck me, like, the men are almost prettier than the women are. Like, everyone is just so done to such a degree. It's kind of impressive to see, to be honest, because they're wearing the flashiest clothing and they're just like asking people to come in. It's, I can see why it would be popular.
Are there any host or hostess clubs in Canada or in the Western society?
Good question, Haru-san. It's not really a thing here. Usually, if you're going to be an escort, your means of getting work is online. You could, you know, do Craigslist. Well, Craigslist is kind of old school now. I'm not up on how it gets done nowadays, but I can tell you host clubs and stuff don't really exist in the Western world. Strip clubs, though, do. Strip clubs can also be like a relative equivalent because when you go into a strip club, you're not only watching people dance on stage, there's also people that do bottle service and serve drinks and stuff like that and want to get lap dances or go back to the back room, things like that. So it's similar-ish, but it's definitely a bit more sexually explicit than a host or a host club would be. In a host club or host club, it's not... well, correct me if I'm... Actually, you can tell me, I guess. Well, not that maybe you've been or you haven't. But do you feel like in a host or host club, it's like sex isn't the main point, right? It really is about the companionship.
I don't think so. Like, basically, customers are not allowed to touch in a host or hostess. Then basically, where we drink or talk with host or hostess, so... It's like a bar or it's like a girls bar, or we say kabakura. Kind of.
I had never heard of that before.
Really?
No. That's what is that, like a cabaret kind of situation?
Yeah,
like,
I think
is there
so.
Singing and acts involved and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Interesting. Now that I think about it, actually, this is kind of a weird thing, but it made me think of it when I was in Japan. I went to a maid cafe, and it almost feels like a maid cafe is like a almost like a more sanitized version of a host or hostess bar, because even though they're not serving alcohol, they're dancing and they're performing, and people are going there to pay to have the experience to hang out with these maids or be served by them, right?
Yeah.
I never made that connection before until now.
And there are soap lands in Japan. Soap lands are part of the modern Japan's prostitution, whereby it's a brothel masquerading as a modern bathhouses to circumvent Japanese laws that criminalize prostitution. Women or soap girls who work here offer plenty of sexual services to their patrons. You can think of soap girls as call girls who are just employees of an establishment, whereas AV idols are usually attached to an agency.
So it's funny, actually, that they mentioned the word bathhouses here. I remember once in Toronto, I went to a queer Asian youth slash like gay youth performance. Shout out to ACAS, represent Toronto. My queer Asian people, where are you at? I'm white, by the way, but shout out to my queer Asian people. So anyway, there was a friend of mine who actually did a performance. He's from Japan, but he basically did a skit of sorts talking about the difference between bathhouses in Japan versus bathhouses in the Western world. Because when I say bathhouse to you, Haru-san, what do you think of?
You know, I've never been to soap lands, but I could imagine it's like We used to call Turkish bath, Turkoburo.
Hmm. Yeah, Turkish bathhouses. Yeah.
But now we say soap ones. Then most of customers are male. Then you know, the soap girls give some like a massage or something.
Happy ending, as it were.
But some places, customers are not allowed to have sex with soap girls. So it depends on the store.
Interesting. Because here in the Western world, in Toronto anyway, for sure, we definitely have, we have bathhouses, but bathhouses aren't a place to get clean, per se. Yeah, it's like how Soapland is, basically, where, but instead of people being employed there at the bathhouse, it's basically where men and women, whether it's gay or straight or whatever it might be, for whatever specific sexuality you prefer, that's where they go to have sex with each other, or do whatever it is they're going to do. So bathhouses are made for that, as opposed to people working there and sexual things happen, if that makes sense.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty different. It's, some stuff is kind of the same-ish, but some stuff isn't, because you can't really go into a place that's explicitly for sex and have sex there in Canada. It's just not a thing that happens. Let's move on into AV and what that is like, what that, what our, not what our experiences are with it. That might be a bit much, but what is the difference between, like, do we have something like that in the Western world and that sort of thing? So Haru-san, what is AV? Like a general definition.
So AV, we said adult video in Japanese, or AV. And it's a basically Japanese porn.
Ah, there you go. The more you know. Yeah. I did it again. So what do you think that Japan is more accepting of adult video than other countries?
I think so. And basically, like in Japanese culture, we believe that we shouldn't have any like sex friends, or, you know, like we shouldn't have sex with several people. Then we should have, you know, we should do sex with certain partner, like a wife or husband or a girlfriend or boyfriend. So, like, we think that, oh, it's okay to watch porn, or it's okay to visit Soaplands. It's not, you know, that means we don't have sex with others. We just, you know, to have some fun, or...
So people, basically, it's the idea that you wouldn't, if it's frivolous sex or sex that doesn't really mean much of anything, then... you should go to a place or see a person that that's like their specific goal, basically. Yeah. That's interesting, because in the Western world, I mean, sex workers are, it's a valid thing. It's an important thing, and it should, it work is work. Sex work is work. Absolutely. But in society, prostitution and sex work is looked down, because if you go and see a prostitute or you go and see a sex worker for something, it's seen as being beneath like society, essentially. Yeah. It's not something that is okay to do. I feel like that might, I hope that might be changing, but it's, as it's been for the last little while, it's definitely been a case of like, you don't talk about going to go see a sex worker or anything like that to do stuff. It's just not something you do. You would go and have like a friends with benefits, or you go hook up, or you go to an app. Like, that is the sort of thing. It's more widely accepted to go and do that than it is to go out to places that are made for that sort of thing. If that makes sense. Do you think that in porn, or I guess in AV, I should say, is there too much of a focus on straight male gender audiences?
Absolutely.
I would agree too, for sure.
So personally, I'm only interested in female, but, you know, I'm lesbian. So I usually watch lesbian videos then. But actually, those videos are made for straight male. It's not for lesbians. So the content usually it's too intense or unrealistic for lesbians.
Yes, that's the same with gay stuff too, a little bit. I'm gay. So, yeah, because it would be, I could absolutely see that because in the Western world, pornography, women are mostly treated as objects and they're essentially, it's, everything is a little, it's too extreme and too graphic for what it is. And it just goes from 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. There's no, there's nothing really to ease anyone into it. There's no sense of story. I mean, you could find pornography that has that for sure. But generally, if it's focused on a straight male gender audience, it's very much like a we're straight into pound town kind of a situation. So, yeah, it's interesting, actually, that in your point of view, that like it's that sort of porn that is lesbian porn. It's not for lesbians.
Yeah.
It's for straight people. That's fascinating.
There are some, like I would say, there are some AVs for straight female as well, but just a few.
Ah, it's not like a popular thing. That is interesting. Oh, well, actually, one of the facts that we have in here does talk about that. Male AV stars aren't paid as much as females. So there you go. So now we have a little song break. We have Vamps with Devil Side. This came out in 2010.
I want to see your world.
Devil's Side was Vamp's fifth single, released on May 12, 2010.
It included a cover of Live Fire by Motley Crue.
Limited edition came with a DVD that includes two versions of the music video. The track was included on Vamp's 2010 album, Beast. Okay, can we talk about censorship for a second? Because this is interesting.
Okay.
So, all right. So censorship in Japan, for those of you that don't know, there are things that are censored in Japanese and adult video that isn't censored in Western video. So one example would be male genitalia is censored usually in Japanese video, but in Western pornography, it is not. And actually, Haru-san, maybe you could talk about this a little bit. For like female pornography actresses, is there censorship there too?
Yeah, basically. But when I when I watch like when I watch Pornhub, then there are some uncensored videos. But I'm not sure, like, because nowadays like Pornhub, most of videos are deleted, right? So
That's a thing right now. Yeah, actually. And the logarithms and stuff too are definitely a lot more narrow. It's like a very homogenized set of videos you can only access, that could honestly be an episode in itself, truly. It's interesting too, actually, because if you think about censorship a little bit, there's also like bara, yaoi, that kind of stuff, all that hentai. I remember it's like a big deal if it's like, we have an uncensored version of this thing, which is interesting in a way, because for Western audiences and stuff, we're like, what's the big deal? I mean, we've always had it uncensored. So is it really that big of a deal when things are uncensored over there, do you think?
Censored. I think we need censorship.
Yeah. A little bit of mystery is good, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's your opinion of the accessibility of free online AV?
Oh, I appreciate it.
Don't we all? do you remember, because obviously before the internet existed, there was only stores that sold pornography or sold adult videos. Yeah. Do you remember those kinds of stores or like 18 plus areas when you were growing up?
Yeah, I remember. Like, every time I went to a CD shop or even a bookstore, there is a like a pink carton area, like 18-kin. We say 18-kin. It's a 18-plus area. Like, but yeah, I was curious about it, but I haven't been there yet.
Ah,
so I don't know the inside, but yeah, I'm so shy.
Haru-san, it's so cute. Kawaii. I haven't okay, in Western world back in the day with like video stores, I don't really remember, to be honest, there being like a curtain or a backroom area. I remember in like television there is like always like, oh, the 18 plus area. If it was like a plot point, it would be mentioned, but I don't remember it seeing it much in real life. I do know that there are porn stores and like sex shops in the Western culture where you would go and get that stuff, or adult video stores. That was a thing. It would just be like specifically a store itself as opposed to like a section, if that makes sense.
Should we more talk about history? Like we can talk about not evolution, but like if it came from cinema, like it's called like a pink film or Nikkatsu Roman Porno.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, then it became to how do you call VHS?
Ah, right, videotapes.
So
that's true, actually. So this kind of ties in a little bit with the whole idea of having like a sex shop with actual stores in it and your whole pink curtain situation.
Yeah,
there you go.
So that is why AV is called adult video. But nowadays it's most of like DVDs, or we can watch porn at like internet, right?
Are DVDs still a thing? Do people still use those? Do you think?
Not sure, but there are some like CD or DVD stores in Japan so that we can rent AV or something.
Wow, really? That still exists? Because I'm trying to think here in Western world, we don't, like, I don't even think HMV is much of a thing anymore. I feel like it might still be a thing in Japan, but, like, we don't have an HMV or, like, a, what is it, Sunrise Records. Like, record stores or, like, CD, record stores are coming back in a big way, but actual CD stores don't really exist much anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but we still have, like, adult videos, so I guess that is a thing. I mean, I'm just not buying them. That's all. So, ooh, I didn't know about this, actually. So the early adult video, Kenchan, the Laundry Man, became a hit in Japan in 1982, selling over 200,000 copies, an unprecedented number for an adult video.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a lot, especially in that time period, if you think about it. Because if you think about views in, like, on the internet now, like, that it way outnumbers selling over 200,000 copies. Like, a video alone could have, even on YouTube, not even talking about pornography, like, YouTube videos get tons of more views. So in that time period, to have that many copies sold is pretty impressive.
So I heard that there are some, like, vending machines for adult videos. So the people who hesitate to go into the shop, then just they can buy DVD. No DVD. That's a VHS. The
really?
Vending machine.
Wow. And I wonder if there's still a thing. I guess somewhere. Actually, we can. This leads into our segue. So when I was in Japan, when I was staying at a hostel, it was near the end of my trip. A couple of people, they were Americans. They wanted to go and find a pantsu vending machine, basically, which is like a thing because in Western culture, a stereotype of the Japanese is that, like, or like of a hentai, of like a dirty old man, you know, oji-san or whatever. It would be like they like to, you know, sniff girls' panties or whatever. And people would say, oh man, Japan must have like vending machines for panties. That must be a thing. So we went on a hunt. Where was it? Was it Akihabara, maybe? Akihabara. To go find it. So we went into a sex store that had it. It was like a 4-4 sex store, and it was in 2014. And I remember that. Child pornography actually had just been outlawed, which is a good thing. But I remember going to that store, and it was just so odd because you would see rows and rows of pictures of girls just trying to be looking as underage as possible. And that's like, that's still a thing. That's still prevalent today. And we did find the pantsu machine, essentially. And they had three different types. They had clean, slightly soiled, and then, which is kind of disgusting, but I mean, well, I don't think it's disgusting because periods are wonderful and natural, but they did have like a period stain pantsu capsule machine that you could buy from, which, no judgment, but I think that was really interesting. And the thing actually that struck me the most was not the fact that it existed, but it's about the fact that there are women in Japan who they want to make some extra money, or maybe it's the only way they can make money, and so they like submit these pantsu and it gets put into these machines, right?
Yeah, maybe. Like, I think like some of the like, Japanese hentai guys really really love like underwear, then some people try to steal pants from like you know from laundry. It happens.
No.
It happens all the time. So we have to be careful about it.
Oh my gosh, Haru-san, does that happen to you?
No. But
thank goodness. Oh no! Wow, that's insane. Like, who would do like in university? People would get upset when you would leave your laundry in the dryer for like 1 minute too long, and they would just take it and throw it on the ground. But no one would ever steal underwear. That's wild. Like at gyms and stuff, I've heard of that. Of like. Men, guys stealing other guys' underwear and stuff like that. I know that's like a thing, kind of. It's unfortunate that it happens, but like from a laundromat? Whoa.
Do you know, like, we do usually dry laundry outside, like the yard or, you know, it's not inside so that someone could steal the pants or whatever.
Wow. But wouldn't they have to get up really, really high to go get it, maybe? That's pretty... They must really want them if they're going to try and climb stories for those. Our next song is by Ebisu Muscats. It is called the Ebisu Animal Anthem, and it came out in 2019.
System Pula, Man Fuji, from Alice's
AB Super Muscats are part of a series of J-pop groups mainly consisting of Japanese Gravia idols and AB idols under the Pony Canyon record label.
A successor of AB Super Muscats, an idol group led by Yuma Asami, who disbanded after holding a farewell tour in April 2013.
AB Super Muscats formed in September 2015, though they changed their name to AB Super Muscats 1.5 in October 2017.
The group's debut single, Tokyo Sexy Night, was released in November 2015.
Ebisu Animal Anthem was the group's first single as Ebisu Muscats 1.5, which currently has around 29 members and 30 ex-members. Ah, so they're kind of like the somewhat like AKB48 or that kind of a big girl group, but it's explicitly, they're explicitly mentioning they are in fact Gravia idols and AV idols. That is interesting because I don't know much about girl groups. Tassie Chan, shout out to Tassie, make sure you listen to her episodes. She is a big fan of the girl groups, and we talked a little bit about this. I'm not very well versed in them. Aaron, are you? Do you know a lot about girl groups, Haru?
Yeah, like AKB48 or Momoiro Clover Z or like Ebisu Muscats. Ebisu Muscats. I think they are popular among like, you know, guy who loves to watch AV or who loves to see Gavir idols.
Because the interesting thing is, though, that like it's explicitly that's what the group is comprised of. Whereas the other way around, like we talked about earlier a little bit with some of the girl groups, is that they are girl groups, but it's like a secret, or they do it after their career, then they become AV. So yeah, it's kind of interesting to me that it's like that is their marketing gimmick, is the fact that they are composed of those kinds of groups. The link with idol groups in AV isn't just reserved for AV J-pop releases. Many members of large idol groups such as AKB48 or sister groups like SKE48 have started their careers in AV.
Yua Mikami debuted as a member of SKE48 in 2009 before leaving in 2014. She entered the adult entertainment industry in 2015, becoming one of the most popular and best-selling contemporary AV idols by 2017.
Aoi Sora starred in more than 600 adult films between 2002 and 2011 from the age of 18 and is widely considered one of the most famous AV idols of the 2000s.
She debuted as a singer and actress in South Korea in 2012, recording a music video at a nightclub in Ilsan, Gyeonggi-do, featuring five-girl dance team Love Cubic.
Aoi Sora was also cast in a Korean movie, Vacances, and continues to work as an actress in small roles, including a cameo in the Chinese sex comedy Naked Ambition 2.
She also appeared in the 2014 Thai romantic comedy I Fight, Thank You, Love You.
In January 2018, Aoi announced her marriage to musician DJ Nong and gave birth to twin boys on May 1st, 2019. Sora has talked in interviews about her early ambitions to become a school teacher and her activities as an AIDS and HIV campaigner. So when we were talking a bit about this episode before we got on the air, Haru-san, you actually know about Aoi Sora, right?
Yeah, I heard that she's extremely popular in China.
Wow.
Yeah. I think almost all Chinese guys know about Aoi Sora.
Maybe not even all Chinese guys, probably all Asian men might even know, right?
Yeah,
I actually have never heard of her before, but then again, I don't think, well, she's a female and I am a male who likes males, so it's like our paths probably wouldn't cross in that kind of a way. I do think that's really impressive that she has done so much in the way of adult film and has had such a successful career in singing and acting. And also she had ambitions to be a school teacher and then she decided to go this route. I think that's really fascinating because to go from school teaching into AV is two very different careers. And I would think it'd be hard to try and go back and do school teaching now, but you never know. I mean, the future can be whatever you want it to be.
And also, like, now she has, you know, sons, like two twin boys. And yeah, I think it would be a little bit controversial when, you know, her sons grew up then.
But then you think about, like, for example, Pamela Anderson is a very famous, I was about to say very famous AV actress, but she's a very famous actress, but she's done some adult films in the past. She's most famous for a sex tape with Tommy Lee of Motley Crue, tying it back in there from earlier. And but she's done a lot of things in her career, and she's been a great activist for PETA and for animal rights, and she's a Canadian, so she's one of us, yay. but when she had kids and stuff, she's kind of left that behind as well. So I wouldn't know because we're not interviewing her, but I do feel like having kids probably changes that quite a bit. And I think you're right. It would definitely make growing up, if you have children, like being that child would be a bit difficult for sure.
And I know that one of the male porn, male AV performer, he's Shimiken, and who is a kind of king of porn in Japan. Mm. And he had, it's not wife, how do you call, like, he's in a common law relationship.
Yep.
It's not legally married, but, you know, he has kind of, he has a wife and also he has a baby right now.
Wow. I've never heard of him. Does he only, is he only doing straight porn?
I think so. Like, most of male performers don't, like, they don't try any, you know, gay, you know, kind of activity.
But interesting.
For male performers, they do. Like, they are kind of forced to try lesbian scenes.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess that makes sense. Yeah, that's actually interesting because there's almost like a double standard there because men, yeah, like in Western world, it's a bit more fluid now, but like, because, well, or maybe it's not. I don't actually know all the sexual preferences of the male pornographic actors, but generally in gay porn, there's straight actors that go over and do gay porn stuff, but usually it's like a solo masturbation scene or stuff like that, which makes more money because the world's more open to them instead of just doing just straight sex scenes. So they can do, we also have a thing called gay for pay, which is a thing, which is where a straight actor does a gay porn video in order to make money or whatever. And gay porn does pay really well. So it makes sense in a way that they could flip flop between the two. So it's actually really interesting to hear you say that female or male actors in Japan, they don't have that same kind of option. It's like, if you're doing straight porn, you're doing straight porn. That's kind of it. But women can do both.
And sometimes like those male performers appear on videos for female, and more like basically female videos are not too intense. It's like a romantic movie. So it's, yeah, maybe it's good for everyone. I don't know, but yeah, it's, it'd be good for female audience to, you know, to learn how to, you know, make love or something.
Absolutely. I mean, well, that is the whole thing too. So sex education and pornography and that sort of thing is actually really fascinating because there's actually an article in the CBC recently that was written in the parents blog section. I don't remember who wrote it, unfortunately, but they were talking about how pornography now has become a lot, in Western worlds, become a lot more hardcore, and it just gets, it just becomes so dark so quickly. Like, it, there's no in between. It's definitely not the porn of yesteryear or like the porn of the 80s and the 70s. It's like very hardcore. It's very explicit, and that's kind of it. And the fact that young people are being exposed to that kind of thing, it's worrying because it's not really teaching like safe. It very well might teach safe sex, might be a condom somewhere, but that's usually not the point. The point isn't putting on a condom. The point is having sex and doing whatever it is you're going to do with that girl, whether it's being degrading or a rape thing or anything that's non-consensual, all that kind of stuff is more often not what is shown. And so it almost normalizes it in a way, which is actually kind of dangerous.
Like most of AVs for male, like it's too much. It's like it's immoral. I mean it's like I think some people would be affected, some of like you know, bad things from, you know, AV. That sometimes AV shows like a illegal act, like, you know, having sex with minors or, you know, like even raping or
that is a thing actually too, because even in a lot of stuff in like hentai as well, it's usually that the girl doesn't want to engage in sexual activity, right? That's usually the thing. Like, that's, it just seems to bolster the male more to be like, to do whatever it is they're doing, and they think it's okay, and that's not the right message that people should be receiving, and hopefully they don't, but
some people maybe misunderstand that like AV is real, but it's not real, it's completely fantasy and it's completely fiction, right?
Absolutely.
Some people don't know, like I think
They can't really draw the line between what is real and what is fake. Absolutely. And that could be dangerous. Actually, I want to kind of transition a little bit, because Aoi Soda, as she's done activities as like a campaigner for AIDS and HIV. In the Western world, AIDS and HIV awareness and those kinds of campaigns is quite a big part of our society, because we even have a month that's devoted to it. We have AIDS Awareness Month in December. Is there something like that in Japan? Is AIDS and HIV something that's talked about?
I haven't heard about it. Like, basically, AIDS, we don't study or we don't learn about AIDS and HIV at school. Like, basically, there is no sex education, in my opinion. I don't know, it might be changed, right, like, nowadays, but when I was a student, I didn't have, like, I didn't know anything about, in like, how to use condom or, you know, how to do safe sex. So, like, we just need to search or, you know, watch AV, then we just learn how to do it.
Wow, that's fascinating. That's very similar to here, too. I think now the education system's changing a little bit. There's a lot of controversy about that in the Western world, especially in Canada, when they tried to change the sex ed curriculum. That's still a hot topic with a lot of parents and a lot of educators. But I remember when I was in school, it was like we had a talk about it in a health class, but it was not a big thing. There was no, there wasn't even talk about gay LGBT stuff back then. This was like the early 2000s. It was basically just like, here's a condom and, you know, you should make sure that you're protected and that kind of thing. I went to a public school. I bet if it was like a Catholic school, that would be a whole different thing as well. So yes, that's interesting actually, that it doesn't really seem to exist and it's not talked about and they had to learn it from AV. That's kind of a shame actually. I think education is really important. It could help a lot of people. And the fact that
I didn't even study or learn about like LGBT or, you know, sexuality in general. Like we just, you know, like a teacher just teacher would say like just like male and female, and like they get married and they have baby and blah blah blah. That's all. Like they never mention about like gay or lesbian or even transgenders.
Wow. So how did you find out about all that stuff from AV? I mean, obviously, like, being a gay person as well, like, I know for me, like, my journey of sexual discovery was, everyone's story is different, and that was also another episode with you and Andy. Make sure you listen to it. See, I tied it in. But it wasn't talked about in school, so you kind of define it for yourself about, you know, who you are, and you had to struggle with that and being like, it's not right that I feel this way, but it is actually. But do you know what I mean? So in Japan, did you find that was it really isolating for you?
I would say yes. Like it was so difficult to identify who I am. Then I didn't know much about like gay, or I didn't even.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I didn't know that I'm gay or, you know, transgender, or like I had some, my like I didn't know much about my gender identity, and I was sure that I'm only interested in female, but you know, I wasn't sure then. But nowadays, it's a little bit changing because we know we have an access to the internet. But when I was a child, you know, I went to a library to read some books about you know, like transgender or gay or it's like an educational book. So it's not deeply mentioned about like the difference between like a, you know, lesbian or a transgender.
Interesting. Yeah. What speaking of books, actually, what about well, hentai is kind of like the general catch-all, but like things like Bada, Yuri, that sort of thing. Did you ever find any of that stuff, and were you like, that's it, it must be that kind of a thing? Because like manga in that kind of situation can be sexualized as well, so did you have any exposure to that, or did you find out about that kind of stuff at all when you were growing up?
Not really, because I don't usually read manga, but I know there are some, there are so many like BL or GL, you know, manga or anime, but personally I'm not interested in. But some people think like, you know, BL or GL.
Which is boys love or?
Yeah, girls love.
There you
and
go.
And these things are like a fiction. Like it's only in the like a manga or anime. Then. Like people don't take seriously about, you know, existing of gay or lesbian people. Or some people think like, you know, lesbian for like some people think like gay person are kind of like straight people would judge us as like a sexual object.
Yes.
Like some guy want to have sex with lesbians or, you know, something like that.
Yes, that is actually really interesting, because the fact that it's, even though it's not, actually backing up a second, the whole idea of boys love too, it's not exactly, it's not generally actually marketed to gay men, right? It's actually marketed towards straight women, now I think about it. But gay men do read that, obviously. Like it's out there, so it's actually really interesting that even though it's not real, the fact that it's marketed as a fantasy to straight women, it's kind of fascinating, because to a Western audience, if a straight man, if a straight woman was, they wouldn't, I don't think they would normally choose to watch gay porn, because I think the first thought that would come into their head would probably be, they aren't interested in me, so I can't see myself in the fantasy, you know? That's actually really interesting that it's not the same here.
And let's move on to the next song. This is Black Cherry by Acid Black Cherry from 2007.
We'll be right back.
And composer Yasu debuted as the vocalist of rock band Jannu Daruku before forming solo project Acid Black Cherry, which debuted with single Spell Magic on July 18, 2007.
The song was included on 2008 album Blacklist and was ACB's second single released September 26, 2007.
For recordings, Yasu worked with many well-known artists such as Sugizo from Lunacy, Junji from Shamshade, Akihide from Blakers, and Shuse from Darikuma Christie, as well as supported live by Chisato from Penicillin and Yuki from Duster 3.
This is a content warning. We are going to be discussing non-consensual sexual activity, grooming, and exploitation in the following topic. The dark side of AV is all too easy to uncover. The 2020 article listed the five elements of AV that many people see as degrading.
1. It sells violence as a fantasy, especially toward women.
2. It harms female performers.
3. It normalizes illegal, harmful activity.
4. It promotes women as sexual objects.
And 5. Negativity alerts self-image.
This is actually really interesting. Well, you kind of already talked about it. I think it absolutely does do all of these things for sure. And it can also affects everyone, not just women themselves that are actually in the industry, but it affects men and women, young and old. It affects everyone. I think if we can be safe about it and we can make sure that it doesn't fall into the wrong hands, that's great. But unfortunately, because of the internet, everyone's going to have access to this anyway. So there's really no way to kind of effectively police it, I think, which is a bit unfortunate. The negatively altering self-image is definitely a huge one. And I don't think that's just in line with just AV either. I think all media definitely can affect self-image. I don't know about you, Haru-san, but growing up for me, being a gay man, especially once I knew I was gay in like my late teens, early 20s, with magazines like or gay magazines, stuff like that, gay lifestyle magazines, it would always be like a super thin, white, very muscly and toned, we call them twinks, that is like the term for like a that kind of a person, blonde hair, blue eyes, the whole situation. and they have to be super attractive with white teeth. And if you didn't look like that, you're basically saying that you're unlovable or you're never going to find someone. And that was just like gay content magazines, which also does have sexual content in it. But even the lifestyle ones are a bit lighter, that also it has a huge effect on people. Mm. Even just normal magazines, like women's magazines, have that same effect as well. Mm. Not just in AV. What do you think?
I guess in general, like especially for female, like we are expected to be immature or more like become younger, or you know, to be more innocent.
And that's still prevalent today, I would assume, because you're always being like, it's always like you have to look younger, you have to look prettier, and there's someone that's more pretty or more attractive that's going to take your place for whatever it might be. So it's a shame. The production of AV must be with consenting adults. Unfortunately, within the billion-dollar business, there are many stories of this basic right being taken away.
Japan is often labeled one of the safest places in the world because of its seemingly low crime rate. But unfortunately, as in most countries, this doesn't truly reflect its sexually based crimes, as those all too often go unreported or under-investigated.
Sadly, Japan still has a long way to go with regards to preventing and cracking down on sexism and sexual harassment.
Hand in hand with supporting and protecting sex workers is the importance of freely given consent, rape laws, and the age of consent.
This doesn't actually surprise me. I mean, we have the same problem here in the Western world. It's sad, and I hope that we can do better, but it's a long, hard road in order for society to get to kind of a place, just because there's so much bureaucratic red tape and everyone has an opinion about it. So hopefully it will get better in the future.
Like when I watch news, like every time I see that some guy had sex with minors, then like, you know, high school or even junior high school students, and you know, like I feel like, oh, this is Japan, or like Japanese guy, like, in my opinion, like they really, really like younger, like young girls, like you know, JK or joshikousei or even like junior high.
That's that's so horrible. Like I personally don't get it. Number one, because I don't like I don't like women. But number two, like being like 30 something now, I can't imagine, like, even anyone young. Well, plus I have a partner who is great, but I can't imagine having that thought of being like, I'm gonna go and check out like a teenager. It makes, it doesn't compute for me. But like, I'm not a straight man, so that could probably be why. But just because I can't understand it doesn't mean that it doesn't happen, and it absolutely does happen. I mean, we mentioned it earlier. And it just, it happens to too many people. It's a shame that it's it happens as much as it does, and it shouldn't happen to anyone. Often women and young girls begin their AV careers after being scouted by a talent agency. These can be for any form of modeling, not just Gravia. Often there is a promise of fame and money.
There are many stories about women and girls thinking they were applying for an average job, but being pressured into an AV shot.
Scouts have often been found pressuring women and girls into the industry. Manipulation can come in many different forms, but include the promise of easy money as well as emotional and financial blackmail.
AV Director 2001 said, "The hurdle in getting women to perform in AV has been set very low. In the Shibuya Sentagai or shopping area, there are women who will negotiate on the spot and sign on quickly."
One story that we're going to talk about today is about a woman named Saki Kozai. She had thought she'd found her ticket to fame after an apparent model scout spotted her on Tokyo Street and offered her a job. Then 24, she quickly signed a deal with the agency he introduced her to, believing she would star in promotion videos. On her first day, Kozai discovered the job required her to have sex on camera. "I couldn't take off my clothes. All I could do was cry," she said. She saw no way out of the dire situation. Speaking of the experience, she also said, "There were about 20 people around me waiting. No woman could say no when they're surrounded like that."
Scouts use many deceitful practices to trap a person with the sole intention of exploiting them. Some resorted to people trafficking tactics such as manipulating a person to believe they have to pay back a certain fee or that they are under a legally binding contract that they cannot afford to fight in court or confiscating passports.
Many young girls are groomed, lured by a lavish lifestyle before they are put to work in sex homes to pay off debts they are told that they have accumulated.
They have even been reported to use dating apps acting as normal matches to persuade women to enter the AV industry.
Ugh, that's so gross. That doesn't surprise me either. I haven't used dating apps here in the Western world, but I do know of the fact that people in big cities, they do use dating apps to do things like that. And not even actually just things like, doing modeling or like hiring people for sex work or whatever the case might be. It's things like they're a personal trainer and they want to get more clients. So they go on to Grindr, and which is a gay sex app or any kind of sex app. And they start talking up a guy or girl or whoever. And they lure them in with being like, yeah, we should date or whatever. Or you should go and do a workout with me. And then they get like suckered into doing personal training sessions and stuff. So that's a more tamer example. Still not great. Not a great tactic in order to get sales. But it's something that does happen. And the fact that apps are so ubiquitous and be able to use like that is pretty horrible.
I didn't know that the scouts are using dating apps.
Me either. That's pretty bad. But also, it's there's not much that can be done about it, really. I mean, if websites that are like Twitter and Facebook have a hard time cracking down on things like political messages that shouldn't be getting broadcasted, I can't imagine what it would be like to be a dating app and try and stomp out people that are trying to persuade women to join AV industries or do stuff like that. It would be pretty impossible.
Yeah.
So in 2016, the industry was forced to issue an apology and promise change after 3 Tokyo talent agents were arrested and a number of women came forward with accusations they had been forced to perform sometimes brutal sex scenes on film.
According to the Human Rights Now report, many victims signed a contract without knowing that they would be appearing in adult films.
The nonprofit group Lighthouse, which works to stop human trafficking, said that more than 60 actresses contacted them in the first 6 months of 2016 to escape the industry, which they believe to be the tip of the iceberg. This is like a Me Too Time's Up kind of situation. This is actually really good to see. And their Lighthouse is doing great work, and as is the Human Rights Now group. So this is really, really good.
Yeah. Former porn star Mariko Kawana said on her Facebook page, "Human rights report focused only on negative cases, therefore making it look like they are the industry norm." She added that producers normally tell actresses what is expected of them during filming and respect the actress's request if they are not willing. Looking at the whole industry, evil people or firms form only a very small percentage. Mariko also said the report contained some good proposals, including having a ministry or agency in charge of overseeing the industry.
That's good. So that's like a very comprehensive look at that. So good for Mariko Kawana for speaking out about that.
Yeah.
Now we're going to talk about some consent laws. Legislators amended Japan's century-old rape law in 2017 to include more stringent penalties and include male victims, but controversial requirements that prosecutors must prove violence or intimidation was involved or that the victim was incapable of resistance remained in place. This is actually pretty problematic now that I think about it, just because we're going through a similar kind of thing with Canada right now. I can't speak much about it because I don't have all the knowledge, but I do know that things like statute of limitations, that sort of thing, is being contested, or women not being believed when they testify in court, that sort of thing is something that we're still reckoning with as society over here in the Western world.
Eri Takamatsu, former AKB48, made her AV debut as Lisa Tachibana in 2013. Along with her debut into AV, she also told tabloids the truth of the idol and entertainment industry, that although the idols may be banned from having boyfriends, they were often forced to have sex with or sexually assaulted by older men as these men called the shots in the business.
Sadly, not surprising, unfortunately.
Yeah. It's called Makura Eigyo. In English, sounds like pillow business.
Ah.
Do you know what is it?
I can hazard a guess. I would assume it's things like, for example, up and coming idol would be told to go have a meeting somewhere, like in a hotel restaurant or something like that.
Yeah,
and then it just ends up where they go up to the room and things unfortunately happen. Am I like on the right track?
Yeah, that's true. Like some young talents, like idols or singers or actresses, like in order to get a job, like they are forced to, you know, they might not have sex, but, you know, like to do something with producer or even like a sponsor.
Mm.
Yeah, it exists.
Yep.
Yeah.
In a country where underage children, more often girls, are heavily commercialized, idealized, and even fetishized, the AV industry is notorious for wanting teenage girls JK or Joshikose for in their content. With critics saying porn recruiters often trick young women, including minors, with promises of stardom, age of consent laws are a very important issue.
More than 40,000 people have signed a petition in November 2020 calling for Japan's legal age of consent to be raised from 13 to 16.
Campaign group Your Voice Matters said the law must change to protect Japanese junior and senior high school students from sexual predators. They have urged Japan's Ministry of Justice to raise the age of consent to 16 to bring the country in line with other nations.
Since 1907, Japan's age of consent has been 13, which makes it one of the lowest in the world, the second lowest in Asia. The age of consent in the Philippines is 12.
The petition read, "The age of consent in Japan is 13 years old. The age of consent refers to the minimum age at which a person is considered to be capable of giving consent to sexual acts. Do you think a 13-year-old teenager is capable of knowing the consequences of sexual activities and saying yes and no? Japan has been getting warnings to raise the age from international society, as it is very low compared to other countries. However, the age that was enacted over 100 years ago still remains the same. We demand the Ministry of Justice to raise the age of consent. Please help us with the petition to protect teenage adolescents."
I didn't know that the age of consent in Japan is 13 years old.
Yeah, that is shocking.
I can imagine that like 100 years ago, maybe like Meiji era, and people would get married like in their teenage, like maybe 15 or I don't know. Yeah, teenage, I guess. So that is why the age of consent is 13 years old at a time, but right now, like, no one get married in a teenage, and
I hope not. I mean, child brides are a thing, unfortunately, but that's, oh gosh, it's a shame. Hopefully it gets changed. It's that seems like a, once again, another long and hard road to go down to try and get that changed, but I see that people are fighting the good fight, so that's good.
2020 to 2021 has been difficult for everyone and every industry. Over the past month, porn platforms reported record traffic held inadvertently with hashtag stay home campaigns.
COVID-related shutdown of the porn industry has forced upheaval as thousands of performers are out of work.
Some with massive social media followings have been able to use new technology to seize the means of production.
Individuals and cohabiting performers filming their own content for new platforms such as OnlyFans, give adult performers increased power in the market, but only for a few.
When the Japanese government started putting together the relief package, it excluded those legally in the adult entertainment and sex industries, which drew criticism from activists and opposition members who called the exclusion occupational discrimination.
Officials then announced that the proposed plan would include those working legally in the sex industry. Under the drafted guidelines, sex work agencies and employers could receive subsidies for those who have to stay at home to care for children during school closures. Sex workers could also apply for a cash handout available for people who have lost income due to the coronavirus.
Though many said this financial aid wasn't enough to survive the coronavirus pandemic,
the financial aid did cause controversy, with sex workers eligible to apply for aid under certain conditions, though some activists hailed this as a sign of progress for an industry that has long suffered social stigma. This is interesting because one would argue that in the Western culture here, people do talk about how we have this thing called CERB or CRB, the Canadian Recovery Benefit, and people, there's an argument that it's not enough for people to live off of, and people are excluded from applying. But I didn't even think about sex workers and how they are affected, because they absolutely are. It's actually really, the financial industry or the financial aid period just isn't really enough for everyone at this point. I think. Yeah. I don't know what it's like in Japan. Have you found that people are really affected by the coronavirus?
Yeah, everyone is suffering, but especially I would say like sex industry or sex workers. I'm not sure about like basically like you know, they have to work in the industry in order to make money or some reasons. So I can imagine that they are suffering from this situation. Then maybe some people try to do kind of prostitution or something in order to make money. Then there is called, it's called papakatsu. It's that activity in English, but the rich, I don't know, it's a rich word, but the guy like pays money for a girl or girls, then, you know, they have some connection or something. It's like a kind of, not business, but some people secretly do those things.
So kind of like an escort, I guess?
But individually.
Oh, well, that's, yeah. So in the Western world, if you're an escort or a call girl or a call boy, that's like an individual thing. So for example, if I just wanted the companionship and I wanted someone to go with me to like an event or whatever, it doesn't have to be a sexual thing, but I could hire an escort in order to do that.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's slightly different, I guess, because for Japan, like escorts and stuff are like more of like a hostess situation or a host situation, right?
Yeah.
If you feel you've been affected by the topics that have been discussed in this podcast, here are some helplines for you. In Japan, you can go to the website sarc-tokyo.org, or you can also go to Purple Lab and find a list of support lines for prefectures.
If you live in the US, you could search on rain.org. Survivors of sexual violence and their loved ones can find support.
If you're in the UK, you could check out supportline.org. It's a confidential emotional support for men, women, children, and young adults. If you're in Canada, one of the websites you can check is the crcvc.ca. It has a link for resources centers for victims of crime. Or you could also check out for sexual assault. You can go to sexualassaultsupport.ca, which is the Ontario Coalition of Rape Crisis Centers. For our next song, we have Kotoko, I Pray to Stop My Cry, from 2003. Kotoko is a musician, singer, and songwriter from Sapporo, Hokkaido.
Her first successful audition was with IVE Sound, best recognized for their many dating sim and eroge game soundtrack.
Kotoko released her first indie album, Sora o Tobetara, in 2000.
I Pray to Stop My Cry was used as the ending theme to Hentai Seijun Kango Gakuin, in English, Nurse Me.
The track was arranged by Kazuya Takase, who is the music producer and CEO of IVE Sound. It's interesting, actually. Well, it doesn't. Maybe it's not that surprising, but I don't know why I never thought of it before, that hentai could have opening and ending themes. I don't know why that didn't occur to me until now. I was like, only animes and TV shows and movies have like image songs and opening themes and ending themes. But of course, hentai would.
Yeah, but I'm not sure. Like, I guess it's like a 18 plus anime that only 18 plus adults can watch those hentai anime, I guess.
Hmm. I hope that's the case. I hope there's no one underage watching that stuff, for sure. So we're going to talk a bit about AV and VR and the future. AV has changed dramatically since it was created, adapting as technology has been developed in the last 40 years. But despite its huge scale with the internet's easy accessibility, actual sales of AV have been in the decline.
The need to move with the times and experiment with new technologies has led AV to VR for a new interactive element to AV's vicarious voyeuristic experience.
VR sites have been growing around the world, and of course, Japan has its own homegrown tech giants working on keeping that hentai crown. So, I've never used, well, I haven't used VR even in like a normal game setting. So AV VR and that sort of thing makes no sense to me. Even like, is it eroge? Like erotic games?
Not really. It's like a virtual girlfriend or boyfriend, maybe.
The
virtually having sex with someone. Like, maybe like anime character or one of the famous AV actress, maybe.
Interesting. Huh. Like, because I know, well, there's dating sims too, and that can skew into like, well, it depends on how hardcore you want your dating sim to be, I guess. But it's not entirely the same, because I guess AV, VR would be explicitly just the sex part, right? Or is it, can it go, does it have like a sliding scale, do you think?
VR, I haven't experienced VR, but I could imagine it's like,
actually, well, VR itself, I mean, it's over here in the Western world. Well, actually, and it comes from Japan anyway. It's not, the technology is getting a bit better, for like normal virtual reality video games, but it still hasn't gotten to like the same kind of level yet. So I can't imagine that, pornography that is for a VR experience would be that great. But I mean, there's something for everyone, I suppose. I mean, there's also a reason why they have like androids that can also be like sex robots and stuff like that. That is a thing too, right?
Yeah. How do you call it? Sex doll? Am I correct? Is that sex doll?
Oh, sex doll, yes.
Yeah.
What, ningyo sex and ningyo no sex? I don't know. Okaria said, Gomen.
Sex doll is a kind of doll, or it's called like mannequin?
Yep, absolutely. You got it right. That's a thing, eh?
Yeah.
It's like a big industry in Japan?
Not really, but about, I don't know, 10 or 20 years ago, some guy had, you know, sex doll.
Wait, what do you mean some guy? Some guy you know? Or
Yeah. But like, some people appeared on TV, then, you know, have an interview. Like, why do you have like a sex doll or something?
Like, I know sex, like body pillows with anime characters is a thing. That's, well, thanks to 30 Rock. Shout out to Tina Fey. But yeah, that's like a thing too. So it doesn't, it's a big thing in Japan. Boyfriend laps? I don't know what the word is in Japan, but like, it's a pillow that's like actually shaped like a human that is like a sense, can give people a sense of companionship. Like, they have it for girlfriends and for boyfriends. Do you know what I mean? It's like they put your head in the lap It's like a pillow.
Yeah. It's not for, you know, it's not a sexual object, right? It's just a pillow.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just a pillow. One would argue those body pillows are also just a pillow too. But what happens after? Who knows? Yeah, it's actually, if you're, for our listeners, if you're looking for more of like a comedy side or what happens in the Western world with a sex doll, comedian Whitney Cummings, who also has a podcast, she did a comedy special about a sex doll. She went to the factory of like where they make sex dolls, I believe in San Francisco, in Silicon Valley, and they talked about that and what it's like to create a sex doll and how far the industry has come and just how much money and time and resources are being invested into the industry. It's really fascinating. So go search it and check it out, because if you're interested in knowing like the why and how it all works about sex dolls and what's happening in that world, then you should check it out. What is your opinion, Haru-san, on hentai, anime, manga, games, and that sort of... Did we talk about this already? I feel like we might have.
So basically, I haven't watched any hentai or erotic anime or manga. When personally, I feel a little bit scared. Like, yeah? I prefer real AV.
Ah, interesting. Why does it make you scared? Can you talk a bit about that?
Because it's unrealistic. Sometimes it involves like you know, like strange characters or strange setting.
Yeah, and a lot of like it's a little bit weird to say it like this, but in AV videos too, like underage is like a normal thing that does happen, unfortunately, like you mentioned earlier. But in hentai and that stuff, it's a lot more common too. Like that kind of a genre is completely exploded. It's a huge thing. So the fact that you can get away with a lot more of that hardcore stuff, the darker side of it, is, yeah, I could definitely see why that would be a turnoff for a lot of people. But then there are a lot of people that do like that. And there's a market for it. So it's interesting. Do you think that AV is adapting to the times that we're in now with the internet, or do you think it's kind of dying out? If I think about like the whole adult video thing and like how there are still stores that do that and there are people that still do buy DVDs, I think in that regard it is kind of dying out, but I mean, someone has to buy it. I just don't think as many of them are being produced. I think I don't think there's as many DVDs being pressed. I think now there's like a transition to online stuff. Actually, this brings up a good point. Do you know if there's like an OnlyFans in Japan? I know there are like Asian performers that do use OnlyFans, and there are people that use like Pornhub and like have accounts and stuff like that. But is that like a thing in Japan? Do you guys have stuff like that, or like cam shows or things like that sort of thing?
OnlyFans? Not sure. But yeah, some people do, like, you know, like live stream or, you know, to film videos and upload to Pornhub or somewhere. Yeah, they exist. Now let's take a listen to the song. This is Itsuwari no Shinpashi, or Fails Sympathy, by Mondo Grosso, featuring Aina, The End, from Bish. よく似たダリアの花全ては二人の甘い疑惑のダンス
しただる三つのカフォリー触れてはいけない赤い魅惑の果実
Better known by stage name Mondo Grosso, is a musician, DJ, record producer, and a composer.
Mondo Grosso, Itsuari no Shinpachi was released as digital single on February 7, 2018.
The track features vocals by Aina G-End, real name Aina Itami, an idol under label WAK.
As well as releasing solo music, Aina The End is a founding member of the alternative idol group BiSH.
Itsuari no Shinpachi was included on album Attune the Tune. The single's music video features Aina The End as the sole focus dancing to the track.
Actually, Shinichi Osawa, I do know of him. He's done a lot of collaborations with a lot of different artists in the Western world too, which is really great. Wow. So.Yeah. And that concludes our episode on the adult entertainment industry in Japan. I hope you've all learned something. I know I certainly have. Just so you know, for our next episode, Love Continues to Be in the Air with me and I. We will be joining together to bring you a beautiful Valentine's Day song collection. We'll see you next week from now to continue our Listener Appreciation Month. So stay tuned.Bye.
Bye. Sayonara.
Japan Top 10. The number one Japanese music podcast.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts,so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.